Three, two, one, ghost. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 321 Ghost. As always, I'm your host with the silent G, Kyle, and also, as always, joined by my pal Natalie. Hey, Natalie, how are you?
Feeling electrified.
Did you have that one prepared?
No.
Feeling a little buzz?
It just came out.
So dumb. Hey, everybody. We are talking about the movie Shocker. 1989, written and directed by industry legend Wes Craven. Mm-hmm. We've got Michael Murphy. We've got Peter Berg. Maybe I'll just pause right here. The guy that plays Jonathan in this, did you know he has this whole other separate thing and has like directed a bunch of movies that you've known?
No.
Yeah. So Peter Berg was in this. He directed Friday Night Lights and then also was the showrunner on Friday Night Lights, the show,
what?
Which apparently people fucking love. I've never seen this
I love
before.
Friday Night Lights. I think you would love
That's
it.
That's wild. Really? Yeah.
It's like a teen drama and it's really dumb, but it's very entertaining.
Is it supernatural by any means?
No.
Would it be better if there was some sort of supernatural element?
Of course.
As always. His first movie was Very Bad Things with Christian Slater, John Favreau, Cameron Diaz. That one's really fun. And then also did like a bunch of Mark Wahlberg movies. And then I think Battleship with Rihanna. I never saw it.
No, I've never seen it.
So good for him. You also have Mitch Pileggi, who plays our antagonist, I'm just going to say it out here, kind of our Freddy Krueger remake. Horace here, the shocker, played by Mitch Pileggi, who y'all probably know from X-Files more than anything else. Yeah. So, hell yeah. I always forget that dude's character's name. Skinner?
Skinner. Detective Skinner.
Yeah. Seymour Skinner, right?
Walter.
Walter, that's it. Seymour. Seymour's from The Simpsons. So, this movie is a pretty interesting one. Came out in the late 80s. I don't know if this is much of like a return to horror necessarily for Wes Craven, but it definitely has a lot of Nightmare on Elm Street vibes. And I don't think that's on accident. You know, it's like, I feel like he was like kind of almost... You almost see this kind of trajectory between like this movie that is kind of a copycat of Nightmare on Elm Street in a lot of ways, and then into New Nightmare, which even makes Freddy even more kind of meta and puts him in the real world, and then into Scream, you know, however many years later after that. It's kind of interesting to see, because I'd never seen Shocker before. I watched it for this, and so it's kind of interesting. You know, I just think everyone talks about that kind of trajectory between New Nightmare and Scream, but I think even this movie to New Nightmare and then Scream, I don't know, you could kind of see the lines drawn, you know, between each of them. I don't know if that's something I'm just imagining in my head, but it's kind of interesting to think about.
No, I don't think you're imagining that at all. And it's funny because I've known that this movie existed for a really long time. And I always think like, I'll get to it eventually. But it fell off my radar. So I'm glad that we watched it. I assumed the reason why I had not heard of it until like, you know, maybe like 10 years ago, I probably discovered it and was like, I'll watch it. I don't think it's very popular. It's kind of more of like a cult favorite, but I did look it up on Rotten Tomatoes to see where it lands, and it has a 30%.
Even if it's like a cool idea, it just feels like it's kind of half-baked. I know that there were a lot of issues with the special effects, and you can tell there were issues with the special effects. Because
you know what? Okay.
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
Some of it looks really bad. But some of it actually, I think, like, looks pretty cool. Actually, I like when he is in his like static ghost mode, you know, between people and TVs he's possessing. I was like, I think he actually, like, I kind of like that look.
I thought it looked good.
Some of it does look really bad, though.
Some of it does look really bad, but it's also 1989, and I kind of like wanted to find what Wes Craven thought about this movie because I had never seen anything about him talking about it. And so I like did a little bit of Googling, and the main theme of what I could find is that he wanted to remake this film to have better special effects. And I'm like, okay, let's not get carried away. Like, I don't think it was that bad. I thought they were fine.
It was really bad. I don't know. Like, I think especially there was one shot
A long
where
time ago.
when he is visited by Ghost Allison the first time, and he like walks backwards and like out of the bathroom and then like falls into the waterbed, and it's just this like white cartoon milk splash across
Yeah,
the screen.
that did look pretty dumb. But everything with Allison is kind of dumb, but we'll get to that. I didn't think the effects were that bad. So I think a little harsh for the year it was made.
Before we hop into this movie, this is also a listener request.
It is. Is this our second one in a row?
No, I'm trying to remember. We sorry, y'all. We record episodes kind of out of order
A
sometimes, so I have to kind of
little bit.
reorganize in my head. Yes, it is. You're right.
It
It is.
is. Yeah. But this is a listener request from Jeff, who has been listening to the podcast for a while, because he messaged me a while back, and I asked him if there were any movies he wanted us to cover, and it took him a minute to come up with something, but I appreciate that we finally got one. And I was like, ooh, neither of us have ever seen this movie, so we went into it blind. So this one is for Jeff as his request. So
Hell yeah.
we'll
Shout out,
try not to
dude.
be too hard on it, but shout out to you, Jeff, for listening.
I'm ready to hop into this. What do you say?
I'm ready.
The music in this movie
Oh,
kicks so much
yeah.
ass.
The shocker, like, theme, that opening song. It's
It's
so
so
fun.
good. So the band that created this, or let me back up real quick. So the music supervisor is Desmond Child. Do you know who Desmond Child is? Does that name sound
No.
familiar? Famous hit songwriter. He wrote like all of Bon Jovi's greatest hits with them. It all the way to he was like writing songs with like Kelly Clarkson, you know.
Oh, wow.
And then but a lot of did a lot of like 80s like rock stuff. I think like wrote some songs with like Aerosmith. And so this like behind the scenes hit songwriter guru, right? And he has this band, this basically all of his like famous buddies to create this super group, right? Like kind of like what's the one? Traveling Wilburys, right? Or like when that Lady Marmalade, when you had Missy Elliott and Lil' Kim and
Oh
Pink and
God, I
Christina
hate that
Aguilera.
song so much.
You just but that firepower you just could not deny. I'm sorry.
Sure.
And yeah, so I don't know who's the Missy Elliott of this group, you know, but it's like it's him, it's the bass player of Van Halen, Tommy Lee on drums.
Oh, really? I like their name,
Dudes of
the
Wrath,
Dudes of
yeah.
Wrath.
Their guitar player, it can't be right, but like the guy's name is like Man Dude. Like MANN hyphen DUDE. Man
What?
Dude. I hope that's real.
I'm sure
I don't
he
want to look any
changed it
further.
to that. It's funny because when I heard the this opening song, immediately I was like, oh, Kyle's already Googling this. I don't even need to. I was
Course.
going to, and I was just like, nope, I'm not even gonna bother. I was like, I just want to see who this is. And I found the Dudes of Wrath, and I was like, okay, this is fun. I wish there would have been more of it throughout the movie. Like,
Yeah.
really overdo it.
And he also did have some sprinkled in Alice Cooper music, things like that. Yeah, this music's all pretty great. So 100% this movie's gonna get at least a boo for that. He also did, it just reminded me of, well, just yeah, I don't know. Alice Cooper also did he do a song for Nightmare on Elm Street or for Friday the 13th? Like one of the later ones, or maybe both.
I
Fuck. Maybe
think
it's
it's
Nightmare.
Nightmare on
It's
Elm Street.
right, because he also plays Freddy's father. Spoiler alert.
Way to spoil that.
Oh, sorry. Well, you didn't want me to fucking spoil Twin Peaks the other day, and I'm like, this shit's fucking 30
I
something years old.
mean, it's okay.
Yeah. So you have this opening with this song, this fucking banger, right? You've got Horace like working on wires and TV, and just he's got all of his like little TVs on. They're all just showing violent things. Except for your animal ritual room that just has like pictures of puppies running around or a
It's
video
just
of
like live
puppies.
feed of like the dog park,
Yeah, right.
which didn't exist then, but
Dog parks?
no.
Probably.
Live streaming.
Then you're introduced to Jonathan, who is our main protagonist. I thought he was in high school, but he's college. He's playing college football,
Yes,
correct?
I feel very confident that he is in college.
Yeah. And then this is when you're introduced to the rest of your main characters. Well, almost all your main characters. You've got the coach Cooper, who's like really aggro to him. But like ends up being like a pal, you know? So I appreciate that. Tough love, I
Yeah,
suppose.
his character's all over the place. So there's a lot of like faking out going on in this football practice. I was like, is that what football's like?
Oh, I just wrote down why so many made you look jokes.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what?
I think there's only two or three, but at least like the coach, I don't know what he says, or you're just gonna end up like that poor woman without a top out in the stands. And he's like, whoa, 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 and has to look over. And then he does like, you know, the watch your shoelaces kind of thing. I forget. You're introduced to his friends. You've got Pac-Man, played by Ted Raimi. He
I
is
know, what a
credited.
pleasant surprise.
Industry legend Ted Raimi. He's credited as Theodore Raimi, which I was like, ooh la la, Ted Raimi.
Very fancy.
when he's feeling extra fancy, he's like, I think I'm gonna
He's
be
feeling
Theodore
very,
today.
very proper.
I love that.
Yeah, I wish he would have had more to do considering, he's an industry legend, but
Yeah.
yeah, he's in it a little bit, which is still fun to see him.
You've got his best pal Rhino, who Rhino is a fucking pal of pals in this movie. I really do want to give just the friend MVP award in this movie to Rhino. He's
Oh
a really nice
yeah,
guy.
he's definitely just like, you know what, man, you're saying some crazy shit, but I'm just gonna go along with it. And I feel like if this situation happened to us, we would do the same thing.
I hope so. I would hope that I have enough friends that, like, you know, if they just needed to get behind me and just get into some paranormal, you know, shenanigans with me, they would all get, you know, matching leather slickers like they do. They're all wearing the same matching like slickers in the end, all just doing in
Well, I
some
mean,
electricity crimes. I don't
if
know.
they're a football team, like if it's raining and they're on the sidelines, they probably all wear those matching jackets.
Yeah,
That's
that's
what I
true.
figured.
And
Team
they look good
matching
doing it.
shit. Yeah. They're a team, Kyle.
Matching uniforms. Like they don't match like in all cases, like outside of maybe they do some. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know what they do. They're best pals.
You also have his girlfriend Allison, who it's funny, both
Oh.
his relationship to Allison and also his relationship to his I guess it's father, or I don't think you have to clarify it with like a foster father, or it's not a stepfather, right? Because that requires like a
No, he's his
change of marriage.
foster father because he calls him Don the whole
Adopted
time,
father. Yeah.
but his accent makes it sound like he's saying dad sometimes. But I did have my subtitles on, so it is confirmed that he's calling him Don the entire time.
Yeah, his relationship with Allison is very strange. I think it's just because they have no chemistry, these two.
They
They maybe
have
have a
no chemistry whatsoever.
maybe a little more when she is a ghost, but that's because instead of like having to act against him, like she just has to act to nothing. And maybe that just helps a little more because these two, it's I couldn't tell. By the way, also couldn't tell if this movie was a comedy or not. I think it is a little bit, but he gets a concussion by running into a field goal post and comes to, and it's like her, and she's like, I couldn't tell if she believed him when he said like he forgot who she was.
I thought he was serious.
Yeah, so is he? I don't know. But
Well,
I
like,
thought this was
if he
like dumb
did.
flirting but badly acted, you know?
So I thought that at first, but then when they're lying in bed later, she references him running into that pole, like, clearly something happened to your head. And I'm like, nobody went to get him checked. But I agree. Him and Allison have no chemistry. And they make it very clear, and I think this is important for later, that they've been on again, off again, but they have not had sex.
I think she leads with like, I had chemistry with you. Not actual chemistry, but the
No,
class
they
chemistry.
definitely don't have any chemistry. The actual science class, yes. But I was so happy when Allison dies and then she just comes back as a ghost. So you can imagine my disappointment, but we'll get there when we get there.
Maybe still concussed. She's like, let's go home to his apartment. They make it there, but he, who knows when, I don't want anything's actually happening because he has a dream in
Oh,
between.
yeah.
So he has this dream where he is outside his father's home, right? He also has foster siblings
Yes, two sisters.
and a mother as well. And he's hearing noise, also seeing a repair TV repair van, a pretty dingy one that says like, Pinkman's repair outside. Starts hearing screaming, goes inside, and then he is almost, yeah, kind of like astral projecting, I guess, like into this home as his family is getting murdered, save for
Yeah.
his dad, who's not there.
There's a couple things here. So one thing that I did think was really cool, I really like the shot of him and Allison standing on the street and they're looking at his childhood home. And there's a group of little girls that run behind them. And then they just kind of like fade out, like very like electronically. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Electronically, sure, yeah.
Like, but it looks really cool. I was like, that was a fun shot. What I have trouble understanding with this dream scenario is he actually like seen in this situation? Like, does the killer actually spot him and remember this happening? Like, is he actually there, or is it all just him having some sort of like premonition?
I think it's the latter, but the movie does not.
The rules aren't clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
now he comes to at his place. He's in bed with Allison and he gets a call from his dad, right? And then finds out what he had
Yeah.
a premonition of or what he was astral projecting into actually happened, and finds out that his, the rest of his family, save for his dad, who is also a lieutenant with the police and also the chief detective who's been trying to trace this, what's his name? Horace
Horace.
Pinkman? Yeah, Horace
I think
Pinkman.
no, not Pickman.
Pinker, sorry.
Pinker. Yeah.
Whatever. There's Parkman and Pinker and or something, and they shouldn't have done that because
Yeah, Horace Pinker.
yeah, they should have known that 36 years later, I'd get very confused while I'm trying to recount this. So he goes and, but he's like, hey, fuck, hey, dad, I saw this. Or
Yeah.
Don, he doesn't call him dad, but he's like, Don, I, little Bobby's thumbs were going the other way, right? Do you remember I saw the thumbs and I also saw the van outside, right? You got to let me in. You got to let me in on this.
My other question is, and I wish they could have just answered this question with one sentence of like, this has never happened to me before. Did the concussion make him psychic and have this like astral projecting dream ability, like, or did he always have it?
I don't know because they don't explain. It could have been the concussion. Now, but also, it's like, can he only astral project and psychically see murders by Horace because Horace is his father and there's some
Yeah.
sort of familial connection? Because we keep saying, like, ah, you're just like me. It runs in the blood, whatever. Killer is a killer is a killer. I don't know, but
Yeah.
either way, it's helpful.
Very.
But again, it's like, yeah, that whole dream sequence, again, just very, I don't know. You have this young person who has vivid dream scenarios with a very mouthy killer who really likes to call people bitch a lot, and it takes place in Ohio. I checked the license
Okay, I
plates.
was wondering about that too. Okay, because he does not, Jonathan does not sound like he's from Ohio at all. Like, he's giving full, like, East Coast, like,
Little
New
bit.
York. Like, it's not fitting the how everyone else is speaking.
Same time zone, right? More or less.
Yeah, but you know.
So he keeps trying to convince to his dad, like, hey, let me in on this. Let me in on this. Like I said, the same thing with his relationship with Allison, mixed with him calling him Don, I did not get a clear understanding that he was his father. Because the way they talk to each other, like, it seems like they barely know each other or just
Yeah,
don't like each other. So
I agree.
I was like never 100% sure that was his father.
So
until it said.
maybe the problem is Peter Berg as Jonathan just not clicking with anyone, and that's why he was like, maybe I should be behind the camera.
Maybe.
Maybe acting isn't for me because nobody's gelling. Like, we can't tell who his girlfriend is, who his dad is. Like,
He just did
me
Battleship just because he
picking
likes
on
playing
him.
Battleship by himself because no one
Yeah.
will. I don't know. So his dad, the lieutenant, finally gives in and he's like, all right,
Why
where do you
not?
think he is? Yeah, because
This
I
seems
mean,
safe.
yeah, Jonathan's just like, well, fuck, man. I mean, I can tell you exactly where he works. I've got the guy's name. I think we can find him. I mean, also, if I were the lieutenant, like, even if it's my kid, I'm like, first of all, just don't negotiate with your children.
No.
Like, yeah, be like, no. I get to decide what we're doing. You are still a fucking child. I don't
Yeah.
care if you're, I don't know, how old do you think he probably could be? 20?
Like early 20s. I mean, I don't care how old they are. Like, yeah, you don't negotiate with your children, no matter how old they are. Like, maybe a fun negotiation, like, okay, fine, you can have two cookies. Like, that's where you negotiate, is like silly fun things like that, not criminal investigations. Also, why wasn't Lieutenant Don taken off the case of his own family being murdered? Like, do we not think that maybe he's not going to be in the best mental state after that?
Yeah, wasn't this a plot point in Scream 6? Kind of.
Yeah, like, you're like, who is letting these detectives just run rampant, like fucking grieving, heartbroken, going after serial killers? I just don't think that that would happen. If anything, he should have just went rogue with Jonathan. They could have just played it that way.
So Jonathan does convince them and then leads the police to his,
Like,
warehouse, his workshop.
weird TV place.
Yeah. And like I said, all the TVs, it's just nothing but like war or like pictures of skulls, just things that are just ooky and violent, I
Yeah,
guess,
just disturbing material.
And then the one with the puppies, there you
Yeah,
go.
you have to have a little bit of balance.
Yeah. At the same time, though, it's like, gosh, it doesn't work because, you got your two sides. You've got Jonathan and then you've got the police, and you don't have the full buy-in between the two because even when the police are coming in, they're like, oh God, what are we doing in here? And then they all start getting murdered very, very quickly, and all of them are dead except for Lieutenant and Jonathan.
Those police are absolute buffoons. Like,
Yeah.
the police in this movie are like some of the worst I've ever seen.
I just love the shot of the last guy that was just like on the hood of the car, and they just keep they keep just switching over to him and he just has this like horrified look on his face. That is pretty funny as they're just arguing in front of this like guy. It's pretty funny.
Well, and that's exactly why you wouldn't bring your college-aged foster child with you to try to find this criminal, whether you thought he might actually be there or not. Like, he didn't have to be there.
Not only, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, I'd be like, okay, then I go, or
Yeah.
I'll go check it out.
Yeah, bring a team.
Not only do you not involve your college age child or anybody that's a civilian like into this, You don't let it get to the media. Like, God, it was like the next day where it's like the newscast is like, oh, by the way, Jonathan, this is a football player and has been having dreams about
They sound like some friends like sharing hot gossip. The news knows everything and shares everything. Safety be damned.
No,
Like,
there's a he's in the newspaper because, of course, Horace sees it immediately, right? And then like rips
yeah.
it out and he's like, oh, I've got this nice like picture of him in his like football uniform. I know where he goes to school. I know his name. I
His
know that he's
girlfriend, like, yeah, he should have been put in witness protection at that point because the media was like all over it.
And like I said, even the next day, it's like, oh yeah. And then by the way, Andy, he managed to find some other family of five and killed all of them too in the meantime.
Yes, he's busy. Like, he's
Yeah.
very efficient.
He's up getting his workout in. Allison's
Oh,
taking a
yeah.
bath.
Did you not think that they were fucking? Was I the. I was like, I thought those were ugly sex sounds that we were like coming into a scene on. And I was like, oh, okay. It's about to kick up. Like maybe like him and Allison finally got it going. And he's just doing pull-ups. I was disappointed.
He's got to get that energy out somewhere.
I guess so.
I mean, she's just gonna go just take a bath right there in his apartment, like with the light, with the door open and everything. Like, I feel
I
like for people, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna judge anyone's relationship. I was just kind of
know. Yeah.
surprised for a couple that's not physically intimate.
I mean, maybe
She's
she
very much like,
was that part of the joke, like part of the flirt?
maybe.
Because I was fully convinced that they never have because of their lack of chemistry. And then they're doing things like a couple who is like very actively having sex.
Yeah, I
So,
couldn't tell.
yeah, I mean, but like you said, not for us to judge. It was just more disappointing for me, is all.
And really, no point in judging because it doesn't really matter for too much longer anyway, because Allison is murdered. She's like, hey, you gotta go to football practice at 9. He's like, ah, shucks, yeah. So he
Wait.
goes off, what?
So important. He gives her that ugly fucking cheap ass necklace
Oh, yeah.
that apparently will save the day. I was like, girl, that necklace, you must love him. She like whispers it as he leaves, like, I love you. And I'm like, you must, because that necklace is hideous and it looks like it's from one of those little quarter machines. You know how you used to be able to get like little rings and shit? That's what that necklace looks like.
Okay, tell me if I'm wrong, and I remember hearing this somewhere, and it might not even be true, because I'm sure a lot of people have a bunch of different tastes, right? But I heard it was kind of a to gift jewelry like in the shape of hearts.
In the 80s, I think it was still like an okay thing.
Yeah, okay.
Now it's like, we've been married for a long time and I'm running out of ideas, girl. Like, that's, and it better be full of fucking diamonds. If somebody hands me a necklace with a heart, it better be fucking diamonds, all diamonds just shining and sparkling and dancing on my neck. But yeah, it is like, it's not a thing you should do anymore.
I guess they are just college aged, right? I don't know
Yeah.
what he could afford.
But oh God, obviously not much. I hate that necklace so much.
Well, it certainly doesn't save her.
No, it sure does not.
Because it is a literal bloodbath in there, right? So he goes to football practice and then he's just like, where's Allison? And then the coach is like, oh boy. You better not go home. I'm not going to say what, just don't go home. So he goes home. And
Yeah, don't go home. He's like,
so it was Allison's birthday, extra fucked up. That's why I was so confused by the message because it said, like, Jonathan, happy birthday, Pinkman.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not Jonathan's birthday unless they have the same birthday. And that'd be interesting to be in a relationship with someone with the same birthday.
He also may not actually know his actual birthday because he was orphaned. And so maybe that was Horace knowing that that's his birthday, and he just happens to have the same birthday as Allison.
Maybe,
And
I don't know.
that's why the necklace is now magical.
When the police arrive, it's all a crime scene there, right? And just blood all over the walls. But it's funny because it's all like adult man handprints.
Oh
you
yeah, he
know.
was doing like finger art, like how they do with preschools.
Imagine like him just going around the bathroom and be like, there you go, there you go. Stamp, stamp, stamp. So it's pretty
He
funny.
definitely did that. I love again that the cops fail at their jobs and just let Jonathan just walk right in to see Allison dead in the bathtub. He should not be in there. He shouldn't have even
Yeah.
made it in through the front door.
We have the funeral for Allison. Rest in peace, Allison. But Allison does come back
Yay.
and is buried with this necklace, right? But he's able to
Yes.
like will it back somehow.
The
Him and
ritual.
Rhino meet up. Yeah. Him and Rhino meet up. And again, Rhino's just like on board. He's just like, yeah, do whatever you tell me. He's like, if you need to dream again to fall asleep to go find out where he's at next. Yeah, dude, I
I
got you.
know. I like really reminds me of like a Nightmare on Elm Street when Glenn just is not for it with Nancy. Like he's just like okay, whatever. But I'm like, Rhino is like, all right, man, like I got the plan. I'm gonna stay awake. I know the whole thing. And just to backtrack a little bit, were you surprised that Allison had an open casket?
Oh, yeah.
With how that bathroom looked?
It must the cuts must have been all like
Like
abdomen or
below the
lower.
neck. Yeah, because her
Yeah.
face looked pristine, but
Yeah.
I was really surprised. I was like, oh, that was a little bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not gonna laugh at my joke.
And can we believe we haven't even gotten to like the supernatural parts yet? Or well,
No.
we got the astral projection. So let's get through this. That's the other thing. He doesn't get his like electric powers till like, God, feels like 45, 50 minutes into this
It
movie, which
is
is
exactly 44 minutes. I
that's
clocked it.
awful. And the
Yeah.
movie, I'm sorry, is this is a fun watch, but it is way too long.
It
Like an
is way too long.
hour and 50 minutes. Get out of here. What are you doing? You could have cut off literally like 30 minutes out of this whole opening piece. Like just
I think 20 minutes you could have cut out of this movie. So it's a nice, smooth hour and a half.
yeah.
Yeah.
So so he astral projects and sees the street crossing at this building where some woman and maybe her kids are being attacked in this apartment building. So he sees it. Now, this time around, this is what I couldn't tell. And kind of going back to your question about whether or not Horace can see Jonathan, because Horace
Yeah.
does see Jonathan in this one. Because
Yes.
Jonathan like taunts him and he's like, hey, you want to fuck with me? Let's fight. Let's
Yeah.
go. So I don't actually get that, but that's okay.
Well, and he's
It's not.
able. That's how he's able to retrieve the necklace as well as through the dream. Like Allison
Yeah.
gives it to him. So clearly it's just not as clear as other dream rules that we've seen. And of course, like I'm not going to keep mentioning Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm going to try really hard not to, but like the rules of those dreams and who has the control and who doesn't are very clear and they're stated. Whereas in this, it's kind of just a free-for-all of what you can accomplish through a dream and what you can't. But it seems like Horace knows that he's there and is very aware.
So, but like he's like a ghost because like Horace, I kind of like can't, he goes like right through him, right? When Jonathan's there.
Yes, because he's not physically there.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Luke Skywalker at the end of, what was it, Last Jedi, right? Where he does that.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and the police who are tracking Jonathan and Rhino follow them to this apartment. Which is good. So the police, you have a good bit of this standoff. There's a bit of a chase involved. Ultimately, you know, they're on a rooftop, the next building over. Everyone starts fighting. And it looks like Horace is right about to kill Jonathan. The police do intervene and arrest him
Yeah.
and sentence him to death. But maybe even right there on the rooftop. I don't know.
I
But
know it did feel like they were like, and you're arrested and sentenced to death. We've got front row tickets to this event already. Yeah, Jonathan does kick some ass though in this scene because I feel like he puts up a good fight the whole movie, but he jumps from one roof to another and then runs into a fucking drop kick at
Yeah.
Horace, which I had to rewind and rewatch because I was like, did he just drop kick him? Like, that's just something people know how to do. So I thought that was great.
Jonathan's like, I need to see this fucker die, and I need to see him fried. Lieutenant's like, ah, oh, don't worry, we're gonna make that happen. Don't even worry, we'll get box seats. And then again, because you got to remember, the rest of this man's family has been killed. Like the lieutenant, his wife and his children have been killed. So, and he's like, yeah, I guess that'd be good for me too, huh? You know, like it's just like afterthought. I'm like, you know, also a bunch of fucked up shit's happened to you.
For
So
sure.
it's just so weird. Lieutenant's a weird character.
He really is.
Yeah. So then we get to this electric chair scene, which who knows how long the justice system takes to.
Like how much time has passed?
Yeah, they're just like, oh yeah, we'll fast track this one. Don't even worry about it. No need for appeals, whatever. No need for lawyers. So what a weird situation. Why does this room with this electric chair have like six doors and like six entrances going into it? It's very strange.
Also, I've always been under the impression, and this is me not really knowing a lot about this, so maybe you might have more insight. When there are witnesses to, like, executions, but isn't it like, what do you call it?
Like one-sided glass,
Do
kind of.
is it called, wait,
Or
I feel so dumb. Is it one-way glass or two-way glass is what came to my mind, but that sounds like you could see through it on both sides. I'm talking about glass that looks like maybe a mirror or it looks black on one side, but they can see Horace, but Horace can't see them.
like in like police interrogation rooms, right? Where you always have the people standing outside of it. Yeah.
That's what I thought it would be like. He shouldn't be able to see who's watching.
I don't know. Like, so, hey, abolish the death penalty. That's my official stance. Number two, in general. Two, I think it's ghoulish and weird to sit there with like a crowd and have people watch. Right? So I
Well,
was like, does
I
that still
think,
happen? And but I
oh
think it
yeah,
does.
it does.
Yeah.
And I think it actually is a thing, like if someone like murdered your family that like you could go and watch, as
Yeah.
far as
Like it
I
just seems
know.
kind of like, yeah, some people might need that. I guess I just don't feel like I would. I'd be like, I don't know if
You don't think
I
you
need
would?
to just watch him die. Well, because I don't want something like this to happen where I'm like, what? You know what traumatizing that is? There
I
were other
mean,
people in that room. There were other families of people that he has killed. And to see this, all of this happen and go wrong, I would be mortified,
I am
right?
very anti-death penalty, but I will say if someone murdered my entire family, I would love to watch them die. But I would rather exact revenge myself, but that's not going to happen. It's called they're called one-way mirrors.
Okay.
I had to find out.
So the electrocution backfires. The execution doctor gets knocked out. She goes to check in on him. She gets electrocuted, thrown across the
Oof.
room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real bad for her.
I'd be like, I would not touch him after this, but I'd be like, let's give it a minute.
Let him cool down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Or at least like put on some like
Rubber gloves.
rubber boots or stand on, get take your rubber sweats or what do you call it?
Galoshes.
Yep, that's the one.
But okay, before he enters this execution room, there's that really interesting situation with him requesting a television in his cell.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? What is that? I have so many questions about that. I was like, what? What is that mouth? There's the big mouth, and he's like being electrocuted through his hands. I wish everyone could see the things that I'm doing right now. But he's getting electrocuted through his hands, and I'm like, is this like is it like powering him up? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like giving him like, some extra immunity to electricity. But I think even the TV says like, "You got it, dude." And like, or
So
something
weird.
to that regard, and gives him, I think, just like electrical power and through the TV. But I guess it's like a deal with the devil.
It must be. So we're presuming that he's been doing this for a while because he has all of those TVs. He's got all his animal sacrifices and apparently just hates cats. But yeah, that I was like, whoa, I needed way more of an explanation for that situation. And considering this movie is 1 hour and 50 minutes long, you'd think you'd get a little bit more information on
None.
these types of things. I literally wrote down, whoa, say what? to the TV in the cell situation because I was like, what just happened? Then they just go about the execution like nothing happened.
Well, he attacks a couple of like the prison guards, right? Bites that one dude's like lip off.
Oh my God, that lip.
Oh, and what does he say? Or yeah, and he bites off. Yeah, the lip looks good. And then
I
he
love
also bites
it.
off the
The
dude's,
fingers.
and he goes, "Finger licking good."
Oh my gosh, I did like that. It is very Freddy, but the lip bite really takes away the shine of the fingers. Like he should have done the fingers first and then the lip because whew, I did not like that at all.
So the again, the electrocution goes wrong. This execution, electrocution, execution goes wrong. He vanishes. People are panicking, being like, "All right, got to close the cell blocks, this and this and this." Turns out he's just hiding behind the door.
And he reveals that he's Jonathan's dad, which we're just
Right.
taking his word for.
Yeah, we're just taking his word for it, and says that, "You shot me in the knee when I was trying to kill your family, your first family, not your whatever." Like, so
Foster
his.
family.
Yeah, so his foster family was murdered, and this is why I'm so confused. His foster family was murdered, and also he is a foster child because his actual biological family was also murdered.
And he got the shit beat out of him.
Yes. So, sure. So yeah, he doesn't make it very far. He's behind the door, but only just to kind of fall over, burst into flames, and then also vanish again.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. I liked seeing him burst into flames. Like, I think that effect is good.
It's okay.
I thought it was good.
The lieutenant's just like, "Oh, hell of a chair, huh? Looks like we solved this
Yeah.
one." I think it was the cop that, no, here's what happens next. The cops are taking the execution doctor out, right? And they're putting her, she needs to go to an ambulance. They throw her in the back of the cop car, take off. And then this is where we find that he has the ability to possess people now via not like electrical current, kind of,
Yeah. You would think that it would be more. Just more effects of electrical things happening when he like transfers from body to body. But
That doesn't really happen until he like sticks his fingers in the electrical socket later, and then he becomes more like, "I'm controlling the lights, I'm in the TV, all of this thing, you know." Right now, he just possesses people.
I feel like he must have known that this would happen when he dies, like as a result of like just murdering families, sacrificing pets. Like clearly he had some sort of weird TV devil pact situation going on. But like because he didn't seem afraid to die at all. But I am very confused at what the rules are for when he like body hops and how long a person can sustain him being there. If it kills them, do they have to be in good health? Does it matter? Like all of the, I have so many questions about the science of this.
I mean, this we can kind of hop over to this. I mean, I know he gets that vision of Allison, who's now a ghost, saying like, "You have to stop him." It's weird how she is only a ghost covered in blood in the bathtub this first time. The rest, she's just in the same kind of dress that she was buried in, I think.
She didn't have time to shower the first time.
Yeah, right. She's like, "I got to get this out real quick now." And then she also leaves blood messages on the wall too, but it's in a nicer cursive than Horace does. That's how you know it's got a feminine touch, right?
Not just big giant handprints like an idiot.
But when the police officers take that execution doctor, yeah, you see that the doctor is possessed, starts fucking with the cops behind the wheel of the car, crashes the
Yeah, she's
car.
fun. Her
Yeah,
acting's
she is pretty
good.
fun. I liked her a lot. And you learn that this one surviving cop from that car accident is possessed by Horace because he arrives at Jonathan's door the next morning, ready to
Oh,
kill
yeah.
him, right? Now, this is this weird extended sequence. You could have honestly, I don't know, cut out this whole part, like this, like chase through this public park.
The public park is too long, but what I do love, I love the beginning of how the whole thing starts, where you're like, he doesn't know that this guy is possessed, and he's getting the answering machine message
Yeah.
from Dawn at the same time. I love a phone reveal or like an answering machine message reveal when it's like in real time. So I thought that that was really fun. But yeah, the whole park sequence is so long. It's so fucking long. I don't know why it needed to be that way.
I don't know how this officer who was taken to a hospital was able to escape, get back in his uniform, get his gun, and have like extra like magazines for his gun because he has to reload a couple times.
Yeah, and it's interesting too that the limp carries over because he's in different bodies that don't have the same whatever like health ailment he has that creates that limp, but he
Yeah.
still takes the limp with him, which I'm like, well, that's a dead giveaway.
Well, and that's what I was confused about too, is that so in this scene, he goes from the police officer to some passerby runner to some like 6-year-old girl, then to the 6-year-old girl's mother, and then to a pretty jacked construction worker.
Which was the best pick out of the group for sure.
Yeah, just start with him if you saw him, you know. But I wasn't sure because he goes into the passerby's body, but not before he also shoots him in the back when he's the cop. So I'm like, hold on, if you're gonna get inside this body, does he like, yeah, sure, you're gonna have a limp because it's Horace, right? But don't you also have like a bullet in your back as well? Like, does that affect anything or does that matter? Because when he switches over, or I guess he just only wanted to be in that body for a second
Just to get to a new
because,
body. Because what I'm assuming
yeah.
is that Pastore was in such bad condition out of the hospital. Like he barely made it there, which why wouldn't he have just like he could have passed by like fucking how many people on the way to Jonathan's house that he could have like hopped into? But I'm assuming this guy was actually just dying. So he's like, all right, even if I shoot this motherfucker over here, he's still gonna be in better shape than this guy who just got in a car wreck. So he just needs to get from bleeding out guy, no, I'm sorry, hospital dying guy to bleeding out runner to this little girl, which is also like the worst pick.
You mean you couldn't just transfer to like a paramedic or a nurse or a doctor, any of these other people
Exactly.
you may have come into contact with?
That's what I was thinking. Like, why this guy? Or maybe because he figured he trusts him and knows him. So he was more likely to open the door. I mean, if he wouldn't have acted like a complete fucking weirdo at the
Yeah.
door, like just stand still and he probably would open the door for you right
Yeah.
away. But I do enjoy the little girl.
Me too. When she looks up and that little grin on her face, I was like, oh, this girl's gonna get into some shit. I wish she was able to do more. I would have liked to see this girl like pick up a gun and start shooting at people.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, maybe a little traumatic when we're talking about school violence and kid shooters and shit, but it would have been cool to see that little girl
Yeah,
when
this
she's running
movie's
around.
batshit enough.
Yeah. So there's this chase because also the mom of this child who had lost her before, well before she got possessed. This girl was already off on her own on her bike before
Yeah,
this
so she
happened.
needs to calm down blaming people for her kid getting possessed. Like, keep an eye on her. What the fuck? My kid's not getting possessed.
To imagine just walking through a park and you can't find your kid, and then you walk over to somebody like, "Hey, have you seen someone that looks like this?" And he turns over and he's like pretty beaten and has like bullet holes. Like he's just bleeding out the arm, and she's just like, "Never mind."
Yeah, she did play it cool. She's like, sorry, let me just move along.
Yeah. I was so confused. He doesn't have the necklace back from her at this point, right?
No, he
He
does.
does.
He, and
Right.
that's
Alice brings it
what
to
I
him.
was like, one, how? Two, how did you know what this necklace was gonna do? Like, does he just like kind of throw it on him and it just like lifts Horace's essence out of this body?
Yeah.
Like,
He
there's a
tosses it on
lot
the little
of,
girl.
yeah, there's just a lot of luck and guessing happening with what's going to work against Horace. I feel like Jonathan gets real lucky.
And I looked away, which is not good because I didn't rewind it to double check.
Oh, you have to
I got
with
so
this one.
confused. I assumed it was probably the necklace that made its way into that lake, but I was like, what's the big deal with that pickaxe? Why? Who cares?
As soon as it goes in the lake, I was like, oh, that's hopeless. But also,
Yeah.
Allison just zippity-doo-dah that necklace right back into his hand since it's so fucking easy. Like, why is he having to go deep sea diving? Like, come on.
How deep is that lake? And then also, yeah, if I think it would be funny if like he had a dream that Allison gave it to him, but then in real life you find out that like her body was exhumed.
Well, that's,
You know?
yeah,
Or
I'm
like
like,
maybe,
how
I
did
don't
we get
know.
that necklace?
I know, right? If I were the Allison's family, I'd be like, hold on. I mean, granted, they never knew. Well, I don't know. Don't worry about it.
They
But
in real life, they would have said, ew, take that cheap ass necklace off of her. We're not burying her in that. Like, just
yeah, we're
throw it
not
into
letting
the
that touch her skin.
trash.
Jesus Christ. So I know I just right. Does he need this pickaxe at the bottom of the lake?
I
Just in
love that you
case.
didn't realize the necklace was there.
So I assumed it probably was that, but
You
and
could
then it
just get
was
another pickaxe at Home Depot. What's the issue?
that's what I was thinking. So let's see. He goes and gets bandaged up, not at a hospital because he's kind of on the run right now. You know, they got an EPD out on him. So he goes to the gym. I like that the coach, the adult, is like, I'm not going to turn you into the police.
Nope.
I'm going
The
to
coach is
entertain
into it.
this. Yeah, the coach is like, I'm on board with this. Rhino's like, I'm on board. Pac-Man's totally on board. And he's like, hey, the only thing that's been working so far is this necklace. So, but the necklace is at the bottom of this lake. So I gotta go get my little mask because apparently, even if it's in
Just
the foggy and in the middle of the fucking night, as long as you have that mask, you can see anything. I was thinking it was gonna be like a mask that like had like a little light or a breathing apparatus on it. It's just no one of those like bullshit little plastic covers your eyes is goggles.
there's so many issues with this situation. Like, they're at the lake. It's nighttime. He's got the mask. Where's your fucking flashlight, bro? Like, you're just gonna be like just the mask. But also, we
Yep.
managed to empty out that whole entire house. It's empty as fuck. We're repainting walls, but we left the closet full and the mask is still there. What? Just go buy a new mask. Like, why would you go back to his house where there's definitely danger and you send your precious coach who is like trusting you? He's trusting you so much he doesn't turn you into the cops, and he literally like set him up for death.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
He's just
absolutely.
he's like, you go, coach. I can't bring
I
myself
can't
to go
bear to
back
be
there.
there. Yeah, you're
I
like, ugh.
how long too? I don't know. I could look this up, but how long? That was a pr like I they did a really good job repainting very
Oh.
quickly, right? Because this is only like a day? No, less, more? I don't know. I have no idea. The jumps in time in this movie either. This all could have taken place within the span of 3 days, or it
Yeah,
could be
months.
years even. I don't, who
Yeah.
knows how long it takes like someone on death row, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But
So
I would say they definitely had professional painters
it did a great job.
because they did a fantastic job. And the professional painters aren't going to go around your fucking furniture. They're going to be like, get that shit out of here. So I think that that was my clue to the professional painters.
Yeah, they leave the waterbed and the massage chair.
Yeah,
Yeah.
of course.
But I'm like, how long does a crime scene, especially one as gruesome and bloody as that, how long does it like stay a crime scene? Like, literally the
Probably
next
a
day, they're like,
while.
that's what I was thinking. Like, is it like ruined the next day? They're just like, oh, let's go just paint up the place. Don't worry.
No, all those things overlap. So you had to go through the trial, figure out if he's going to be executed. In the meantime, the cops are diddly-dooting through
As
the
they do.
fucking through the house, figuring things out. And they're like, okay, this guy definitely did it. Let's sentence him to death. You're okay to get that paint job done now.
So, like you said, he set Coach up for death. He is at the lake with Rhino, being like, what the fuck? It's been over an hour. Where is he? Let's go back. Rhino's like, dude, come on. Can we? I'm looking out for you, bro. That's why they have their cute little exchange. They love each other. I love that.
Love a good bromance situation.
So he just tries to jump in the lake even without the goggles. It's middle of the night. And Rhino's just like, hey, he's coming in after him. He's like, come on, man. What are
Yeah.
we doing? What are we
Yeah.
doing?
That's good.
So since Coach and Pac-Man never showed up, Jonathan goes back to his apartment, finds Pac-Man dead in the closet, finds his
Yeah.
mask smashed up and broken. That's
Dang
why
it.
I saw that. I was like, really? That's the mask? He's like, fucking goggles? That's
Shitty
it?
little mask. Yeah.
You couldn't just like go a couple rows over from the pickaxes at the Home Depot and probably just find some goggles?
Yeah,
Like,
he'd still be holding his breath.
I know. It's so dumb. And So, Pac-Man's dead. Rest in peace, Pac-Man. Allison manifests, right? And they have this kind of standoff with the possessed Coach. You got ghost Allison, who kind of
Why
like,
does she get to be a ghost
I don't
and no
know.
one else does? Like,
Well,
their
they all,
love didn't seem that fucking meaningful.
right? In the dream, in the end, like they weren't even dating for a year. They were dating on and off for a year.
Can I have a moment about Ghost Allison? May
Yeah.
I? Okay. Here's the thing. If I get brutally murdered on behalf of a guy that gave me a cheap necklace and hasn't fucked me yet, I'm not coming back as a ghost to save you. Are you kidding? No fucking way.
Well,
That's
she's
insane.
saving the town, you know, there's more at
No,
stake.
she is very clearly all trying to protect Jonathan. She didn't give a shit about the town. She doesn't care about those families. Nothing. It's all him. I can't with her. I like, you're coming back as a ghost. Girl, prioritize. Get your ass to heaven. Go flutter about. Like, that just made infuriated me that she's the only ghost. But we did get a movie with ghosts.
Yeah,
Ghosts.
technically. Well, no, they, I mean, they show up. Well, in his dream, all the other victims show up by the lake.
That's different. She's like tampering with like things in real life.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So Allison Ghost beams him away after he's been expelled by Coach. Coach kills himself to expel Horace. Or I don't know if Horace is controlling Coach or if Coach
He's
is doing
controlling
this.
him
Okay, I wasn't
because
sure if Coach was doing this to
he's like
like
resisting.
sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Coach. But also, like, you're an adult. You should have probably
Yeah.
not engaged
Turn
in this.
him in.
Yeah. So, like I said, Allison then also like chest ghost beams him away, which is kind of
Oh, she's like a
strange.
Care Bear. That's what it
Yeah,
reminded me of. You know how Care Bears,
actually.
they shoot out like their power from their little bellies?
It's
She just does it from her tits.
sexy little Care Bear. Love that. Then this is when he gets his like electricity powers, because then you have this kind of ghost static Horace who then is like, ooh, look at that outlet. Let me stick some stuff in there, right? And then puts his little fingers in there. They stretch out and get all knifey, kind of like another guy with long knife fingers.
Oh,
But
I
then
didn't
goes
think about
into
that.
adds it's you know,
Yeah.
but he then gets sucked into the outlets, and then that's where he lives, is you know, he can then just move between, I don't know, he gets the
No,
electricity
I
powers,
thought,
but then also he can possess people.
yeah, then he's doing both because he does like several different types of moves. So the first one is that when he's alive, he's being charged up by electricity, and I don't really know what that does for him. Then when he dies through from the electric chair, he can now hop from body to body, but it seems like he can't just be out and about as himself. Then he inserts his fingers like a little power. It looks like a little plug. It's a little two fingers. It's cute. Then when he does that, he can run around and he can still hop from body to body because eventually something else happens. I can't tell you what. And then he can't like be in bodies anymore, is what it seems like. But he's more powerful somehow.
All this happens, right? And the lieutenant shows up to his apartment, finds the bodies,
Not looking good.
and then I wasn't sure, like he's like trying to turn on a lamp and gets like shocked really quick, and he's just like, ah, what's up with this fucking electricity in this place or whatever, when the rest of the cops show up and start, arresting the fuck's his name, Jonathan.
Jonathan,
I
which
want to
I
say,
would think he did it too.
which I would I almost want to say Alex, I don't know why, but maybe that's like when he gets like shocked, like that's when he gets possessed
It
by
is.
Horace.
He decides, he as himself decides, like, I'm going to arrest Jonathan. So he didn't even have as much trust as the coach. How sad.
I don't know. I'd be looking at all this and be like, I don't know if you're guilty, but I definitely don't think you're innocent.
No, but like take him in. Like you really need to start like reading his Miranda rights. Like, I mean, come on. Like you could have just taken him to the station. But when he gets shocked by the lamp, that is when he is then possessed. Because you'll notice you don't see him walk until Jonathan's already in the police car, and then he's that foot drag that he does.
They put him in the back of the police car. He realizes that Lieutenant is possessed by Horace. So best friends are four. We got Rhino to the rescue. Just burst through that police window,
Like a
pulls his buddy
rhino.
out like a rhino, pulls his buddy out and says, go, 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 go. And he runs off and kind of abandons Rhino, because then Rhino then gets circled by the
He like
police.
leaves him with the cops. I know. It's like, oh,
I'd be
I
very
don't think
worried
that's
about
a
this.
good situation.
I know.
Not
Oh
good,
no. I was watching it with my
Jonathan.
wife, and that when Rhino was just circled by the police with their guns drawn, she was like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, we just traded off Jonathan for poor Rhino. Like, he's
Yeah.
fucked. God.
You have like this other newscast, right? Where Jonathan, well, I guess he wasn't arrested. He escaped, right? He's still out because he manages, I guess, to find Rhino and reconvene with all of his football team, where he comes up with this plan. I like that all the friends are like, yeah, let's do it. I'm on board. Let's go.
Yeah, they are really quick to just go along with it.
It reminds me of that second season of Riverdale when there's that serial killer that's on the loose, and then Archie and all of his friends, they just like put on their like cool dude Red Hood gang. And like
Yeah.
it's all just shirtless dudes just like looking
Oh,
at the camera. It's
I loved it.
I'm sure you did.
I was really invested in that plot.
I just like that the whole football team's like, yeah, fuck that. We can get together. Let's do this. Let's go solve
Yeah.
some electricity crimes. We got it.
Yeah. But is this after? This is after he goes through a whole like chase scene with Dawn, right?
Right. I'm
And
sorry. Let me back
no,
up real
it's
quick.
okay.
He has the chase scene with the lieutenant, which goes to this like the TV station or something that has the big antenna on top.
Yeah, and they like kick up all the fucking 80s rock, which is really
Love it.
fun. And this is where I don't. This was the other like final step that he takes where he like funnels out of Lieutenant Don's body like a beam and he says like I'm nationwide now and I'm like what?
I think he goes, I'm prime time, bitch.
Yeah.
Basically the same thing. It's like, I'm
Yeah.
nationwide now, nut job, nut case. I don't know.
Yeah, so I was just like is he now like he's like in the cable? Is that what that dish was?
Yes. He is
Okay.
now he lives in cable,
Okay,
I
that
suppose.
there's like a few like fun lines in this movie that I think are really easy to miss, but there's a moment where Don is chasing Jonathan and he says, "Eat shit and die, you little fuck." And Jonathan's response is, "That's nice."
I love that.
And I was like, that's really fun. So I as I'm thinking about moments like that, I do think that they intended for this to be comedic.
Definitely. So, yeah, you had this whole thing on the top of his antenna. The lieutenant lives, Horace escapes, gets beamed out from the satellite. And then this is when, sorry, this is when you
Yeah,
have
this is
that
when they all band
newscast.
together.
But like, even the newscast says that Jonathan's arrested, but I guess Jonathan gets released or
So
escapes again.
they
Because then
walk
he
you through the
reconvenes with
whole
his
thing
friends.
because the news knows everything and they want to make sure that everybody knows all the specific details. So what had happened was Jonathan got arrested because we're pretty sure that he was doing copycat crimes to what Horace was doing. But then while Jonathan is in jail, guess what? Another copycat ends up killing another family and signs it as Horace. And that is what then gets Jonathan released, which I don't really think that that's how that works because he could have still committed those crimes and someone else just decided to add on to it. So, I mean, like, we still need to do more investigating, but we know the cops are shit in this town. So, the other funny thing is that they have like these really close-up shots of all of them at the funeral from earlier in the movie. And I'm like, who took this footage? The news, the journalists should be the cops. They should swap jobs.
Yeah, I wonder maybe if whoever was taking that footage is like, I don't know if anything's going to look too good for these fuckers either. So let me just get some good shots of them too, in case I need to use this later.
Yes, absolutely.
They're definitely going to fucking die next.
Yep.
So Jonathan has his final plan. He's like, I've got this figured out. I know what we're going to do. He doesn't necessarily explain it, but basically, he's going to trap him in a TV.
Yeah. Does it bother you that you don't know what the plan is, or even half of the plan before it's executed? Like, wouldn't it have been good to like share a little bit of the plan with the audience and then like, surprise, bitch, you're in the TV? Like, that would have been great. Like, I felt so, I don't know. At that point in the movie, I was like, okay, I have no idea what's going on right now. I don't know what his plan is. We've got a newscaster in the house. We've got these guys in matching jackets over at the electrical
Looking
place
great.
breaking in. He's like, do you know how to pick a lock? He's like, what? That's breaking and entering. He's like, it's a lock. And then he just happens to have a lock pick. I'm like, okay, well, obviously you didn't have too many fucking issues with picking locks. So this whole thing just feels like a mess until you figure out what's going on, which is
Yeah, because he's
wild.
having the football team go and basically just create a power outage
At
over at the
exactly
power station.
midnight.
Yeah. So, and then you've got the news reporter that they invited over to set up shop inside the bedroom in his family's house, not his biological family, but the foster family's house. They were murdered. And which I guess is okay. The lieutenant's fine with this. And says, hey, I need you all to go on air 5 minutes to midnight. And basically, the idea is he does not reveal until he's actually talking to the shocker man, Horace,
Horace.
at the end that I'm going to trap you in a TV. And then I decide that the rules are that when the power is cut off and you are in a TV, you are therefore stuck inside that TV
He knew it was going to work out that way.
for all eternity or something, right?
Yeah, that's the plan, roughly.
So he's like, all right, newscast, you got your team, you got your info, you got what you need. I'm gonna get out of here. I'll see you later. So he goes to his apartment and takes a little nap. And he's going to get this necklace from the bottom of this lake. Doesn't, fucking mask be damned. If he
Well,
was gonna
because
do
he's
it,
dreaming now.
he doesn't need the mask,
He doesn't need
right?
the mask. He probably doesn't need to worry about holding his breath. It could be nighttime. It is. It's fucking pitch black and foggy as shit.
He
And then
does have
he's
to worry
got
about
his
holding
ghost
his breath.
girlfriend. He does.
He's like, they show he keeps trying over and over. It's like, gets
Oh,
up, has to
yeah.
take another deep breath. He goes, like, you watch him do
Imagine.
this like 4 times. And I'm like, oh
Yeah.
my God, why are we still watching
Imagine.
this?
Imagine like being like, oh, if I do this while I'm sleeping, like I won't have to worry about my normal bodily functions. And he's like, oh shit, I still have to hold my breath.
You know what was kind of a possibly unintentional spooky shot is when Allison is in the lake and just kind of like glides over to him a little bit.
Jonathan, he's scared of her though. Like he's like swimming away from her. And
Yeah.
I'm like, what
Why are you
happened?
scared of her
Your
now?
Care Bear ghost girlfriend like saved you earlier and now you're afraid of her all of a sudden. But one thing that is fun about Allison entering the equation, and you can tell me if you interpret it this way or if it's just me being me, like there's ghost sex that happens right here, right?
Well, I think if it were up to him, absolutely. Because first he's like scared of her, and then
Yeah.
she's like, nah, let's make out, and then
Yeah.
let's fuck on the side of this lake
Absolutely.
and let all the other ghosts watch.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they knew they were there yet.
Okay. Well, they arrive and
Yeah.
they're like, hey, Jonathan, hey man, you need
Need
to
to fucking get back to saving the day.
Rhino and the team's doing all the work, right? And he's just having his sex dream.
He basically says, like, no, I'm not going back. I want to stay here forever. And I was like, you know that ghost pussy is good because he's like, fuck it. I'm staying here. I'm not going back. Staying with my ghost girlfriend in my dream forever.
And she'd be like, ooh, I'm not your ghost girlfriend.
Yeah. She's like, this was kind of a goodbye thing, like a one last time or
Yeah.
one last first time.
So they're like, hey man, you need to wake up. Come on. Throw a bucket of ice water on this situation, man. Get up, get up. And so he does wake up and has the necklace,
Yep, of
which
course he
is
does.
great. So he's like, hey, let's get up from the bed and let's move over to the massage chair. Again, a very Nightmare on Elm Street thing where I guess now he can also possess inanimate objects as long as they're
Forgot.
powered by electricity, that he has arms and little eyes on the top. I love it.
I
I
love
love
the
it.
little eyes. I love the arms. I love this whole chair situation because this is where shit gets like real bonkers. And I wish the whole movie would have just been like out of 10. Like, because from the dream sequence to na like the end, it's pretty bonkers. But his little eyeballs in the chair, like, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, I thought that effect was really cool.
Yeah, it was
Is it
basically
just
just a,
me?
it's just a guy inside that little suit that made his little arms
Yeah, but
armrest.
his little eyeballs, like they're in between the stitching of the leather of the chair. Come
Is
on.
really good. I like
It's
it.
kind of cute even. Like he could be on like a little like children's television show.
I guess he is like Chair from Pee Wee, huh? A little
Yeah,
bit.
a little bit.
So, so only this one like vibrates.
Perfect.
So, he is able to repel him from the chair, repel Horace from the chair, rather, and then into the TV. And
Because
then
he has the
Jonathan,
necklace. Is that
right.
why?
Yeah. And then he jumps into the TV after him. And then you have this whole sequence where they're jumping between channels, whether it's fictional stuff or whether it's like documentary stuff or if it's live on air stuff, like it doesn't matter. They just hop from channel to channel. It's pretty, I liked the sequence. I ultimately liked it and thought it was pretty fun.
I really did too. You skipped over one of my favorite things that Horace says, and again, very Freddy Krueger. He says, like, get ready to take a ride in my Volkswagen.
Love that.
Yeah, I thought that was really fun. Everything that happens while they're in the TV, I thought was really, really fun. And that's why I was like, okay, effects wise, I thought this looked really cool, like them like hopping around and all these things. But what I didn't understand is not everything on TV is live. So why are
Right.
they able to interact with the characters or even like game show hosts and things in these shows? Wouldn't they just be kind of there? But not affecting anything.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think I don't know.
I don't
I mean,
know, but I just thought about it. I was like, why are they able to like affect what's going on? But I did love it. I thought it was
because
very, very unique.
they were in some either like newscast about like a war scene, or they're in a war documentary, and then even like one of the soldiers is like, out of my way, man, what are you, or something like that.
Like, what are you doing here?
He ends up in a game show, which is something that probably wasn't live filmed or wasn't airing live, right? So, but you do interact, which is, so it's strange. So you're not interacting with the real people that really exist. You're just reacting with them within that channel at that time. I don't know. It makes no sense. But when it's something live on air, like the newscast from the room, they
That makes
show up
sense.
as their staticky ghost characters,
Yes.
and they can interact. So that would make sense. I don't know.
Yeah,
And
it doesn't make sense. It doesn't really need to. I just wish there was a little bit, like I would have enjoyed this movie more if I had a little bit more answers. Like I don't need it
yeah.
all to be explained. Like I can appreciate the wackiness of all of it. I was just curious. If you had any thoughts on that, but yeah, it is a fun sequence because they go through a lot of channels.
I think if they eased off a little bit of the like the one-liners from Horace, it would be a
Yes.
little bit better, but I get what they're doing.
It was per okay. One thing that I didn't like about that sequence is when they pop out of the TV and they're in that living room with the family, because like it had a like if it would have just been a little shorter, I think it would have landed better, because it just keeps going. She's not even getting up off that couch. Like she's just like, what the fuck? Like,
I've heard of audience participation, but nothing like
yeah.
this.
Weren't you expecting her to like look directly at the camera when she said that?
Yeah. But I think that is also, I think the movie is really not eloquently like trying to say like how just kind of jaded we are, and how just plugged into our TVs we are, and we don't even notice something that's going on around us. I mean, even at the end, like with the power outage, everyone's like, oh wow, we're outside, look at the stars. Like, and you know how many times people are saying like, oh man, just go outside and touch grass, look at the stars, you know, whatever, whatever. And you can do that. Just make sure you're listening to our podcast and have steady
Absolutely.
Wi-Fi.
Get
Come on.
keep those headphones in.
Yeah. So they make their way into the room, right, where the newscast is happening, in their static ghost bodies. This is where they have, you know, their fight back and forth. Horace is winning for a little bit, then Jonathan gets the upper hand, especially as he's kind of explaining, hey, here's, you know, joke's on you, fucker. Here's where we are. Now we're gonna cut the cable, and you're gonna realize that you're gonna be sick of this TV forever. Now, I don't know. Like I said, it's trying to build suspense by also being like, ah, oh, Jonathan, you thought it was 5 minutes till, but you know, I cracked your little watch, you idiot. So you have no idea what time it is. Ultimately, it works out. You know, he gets stuck. He uses the remote to like pause him and then like throw him around a little bit.
Which is not how remote controls work at all. I like even when
Yeah.
he would like freeze
Or on
him or
live
like,
TV.
yeah, like he like pauses him and his whole body is frozen, but yet he can still like move his head, look
Yeah.
around and say like sassy little one-liners. So I'm like, that no, if you're paused, you're paused. All of it. It all stops. You can't
Yeah.
just pick and choose which parts. So I didn't love the little remote control thing. I thought it was pretty over the top. It also reminded me of A Nightmare on Elm Street. So yeah, I think he got real lucky with a lot of this plan.
Rhino comes through, is able
Of
to
course.
take out the power. Jonathan is able to escape, not through the TV because the TV's been destroyed. So he can't get, you know, no one can get back through that. But Jonathan is able to hang the necklace on top of the camera that was filming and hop through that lens.
He knew that was going to work. Great
I
job.
don't know. Do you think he knew that? Well, I mean, I think he was going to
No,
try it.
I think he just.
Wasn't his plan A.
Jonathan is living every white man's life where he just tries something out and it just fucking works. And everybody's like, great job. You did it. Like, literally, Jonathan is like a metaphor for just white men in America. That's what he is. Meanwhile, Rhino is the MVP of this movie.
Yeah, Rhino does a lot of the work here.
He really does.
So Jonathan is back in the room, or is he in his house or in his apartment again? I forget where he
I
ends
don't,
up.
he ends up in the house, in the real house.
Right. And looks to the TV that's all busted, and he is stuck in, and Horace is stuck inside, being like, "I'm gonna come for you, fucker. Don't worry, I'm gonna come out here and kill you one day. Don't worry."
I
'Cause, you know,
know.
I think ideally there was probably going to be a sequel at least or two.
Yeah,
So I get it.
I don't think that that would have held him forever based off of
Yeah.
what we've seen that he can do.
And I make sure to unplug that TV if he hadn't yet, right? Because you don't want him
Yeah.
somehow, I don't know, getting in through the outlets. I don't know. I don't know how this science works, but that's okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I am not a shocker scientist.
No.
So Jonathan comes to, he's like, "All right, guess we did it." You know, fucking you got Horace yapping, but he's fine, you know. And then he steps outside and everyone else is like, "Yeah, all the power is out in the whole city. Just look up some stars."
Those beautiful stars.
Ghost Allison's like, "We did it, buddy."
I know. Is she like inside of him now?
I guess so. Well, I
Because
think he
that's what
even
it
says
seems
that.
like.
He's like, "If you're really inside of me, this is gonna work, Allison." Or I think he says that at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
So they have ghost sex, and then she ends up being inside of him. So it's a nice little exchange there. And
love
so
that.
now he just has his dead girlfriend just living within him.
Sure.
I think that's gonna be hard. I think it's gonna be hard to move on.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's the end of our movie, by the way.
It is.
Did I forget anything?
Two things that I noticed on IMDb that I did not catch in the movie, so maybe you did. Heather Langenkamp is listed as a victim.
Yeah, you barely see her. She's in the
I don't remember seeing
opening.
her.
She's on a TV report, news report, being attacked by, is one of the
Oh.
victims.
Okay. Then the other thing is, and I didn't notice this on IMDb, I saw this in the credits. Wes Craven is listed as the male neighbor. I didn't see him at all. So I was like, why even plop them in there if you don't get at least like a decent look to industry legends? So.
Not like in Scream where it's just like super obvious, like
Oh, I love that.
in the full Freddy Krueger getup. It's so bad.
It's the dumbest, best cameo ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were the only things that I didn't notice.
I would love to hear what taglines they came up with for this movie.
Okay, we've got six taglines for this movie, and I have to say, a couple of them are just completely incorrect. So be prepared. The first one is, on October 2nd at 6:45 a.m., mass murderer Horace Pinker was put to death. Now he's really mad.
That early in the morning? Is that when they do that?
Also, though, he's not a mass murderer. He's a serial killer.
Well,
There's a difference.
okay. Is it that all within a short amount of time makes you a mass murderer, like in one event?
In one event. So to be a
Okay.
mass murderer, you have to kill multiple people in one event. If you're a serial killer, okay, if he did it once, he could be a mass murderer, but he's a serial killer because he's doing a repeated behavior.
True, but he is murdering a mass of people each time. He
I
doesn't just go
mean,
kill one person, except
is
for just
three,
Allison.
like, I think it has to be a certain amount of people to be a mass murderer. Maybe you could look that up while I read the next one that also involves being a mass murderer. Mass murderer Horace Pinker was put to death. Then he got really mad. So, same tagline pretty much twice. Really going for that mass murderer.
So quick, Google AI tells me in the United States, a mass murder is defined as the killing of three or more people
God
in
damn
a
it.
single innocent incident, without a cooling off period between the homicides. What does that cooling off period look like? I don't, why would they use that?
How long do you cool off in between killing each person for it to be a cooling off period?
Do a
But
couple
still,
pull-ups, do a session in
okay.
the massage chair.
So if he murdered one family, that would make him a mass murderer. But murdering multiple families then puts him into the category of serial killer. And I think that that is like goes above being a mass murderer, like as far as titles go.
Sure.
That's just how I feel about that. That's fine. Okay, there's still four more.
Okay, go for it.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
I like it because they play the song in it, even though, but he was
Yes.
never a nice guy
He
to
was
begin
never
with.
nice. Yeah, like he was never nice. Now he's gone really mad. Kind of the end of the other one. From the director of A Nightmare on Elm Street and The Serpent and the Rainbow. Trying to get
Okay.
that cash, trying to get that cash money in there. And
Love it.
I think this one is my favorite.
Some of that serpent in the rainbow cash.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I was referencing A Nightmare on Elm Street. 1,000 volts of terror. I like that one.
That's the best one so far.
Yeah, that's all of them. That's all six.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all right. Are you looking up how much a Serpent in the Rainbow made?
No, but we should watch it though.
I know.
So, boo scores. Would you like to go first or would you like me to?
You go first.
I think this movie's pretty fun. I think it has a lot of great ideas. This movie, I think, is still like a really fun watch. It has a pretty fun idea. I do like, the body hopping, I think it takes way too long to get to it. I agree with you. I think you could cut 20 minutes from this movie, and you could probably cut all 20 minutes probably from the first act and get like,
Mostly.
I think I only need like 20 minutes, 25 minutes tops before we get to him being, executed, right? By the way, do you remember there's a video game that came out for like PS2 and Xbox called The Suffering that has a character named Horace that like dies via electric chair, but like it gives him powers, but like he's the main character. And I don't know enough
Interesting.
about it, but I do want to just earmark that because I want to circle back and see if I can find a copy of that and play it.
You should.
I think ultimately all the performances were pretty good, except for maybe I actually didn't mind Jonathan that much. It was probably just Lieutenant Dawn that was
Yeah.
just a little too much for me.
He's a little flat even when he was trying to like escalate things.
I think I could comfortably say this movie is a Tubu movie for me. I like it. Would it be something like, hey, I want to check out a Wes Craven film, or hey, I want to check out a scary 80s movie. I wouldn't recommend this first for either. I don't know if Jeff would either, the person that recommended
Yeah.
this to us. But this is still a lot of fun. It's fun talking about. I'd say two boos. I think if you are watching or if you're into Wes Craven, I think that this is still a must watch if you want to like dive into his work. Because I do see, like, obviously, what's come before in Nightmare on Elm Street and what's to come.
Yeah, he definitely, I think, recycled some of these ideas and made them much better
Yeah.
later.
So I like
Yeah.
it. Two boos though. I'd say a solid two boos. How about you?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I also gave this two boos, but like a solid two boos. I think it's a fun 80s watch. I also agree on it being just a tad bit too long. And also, I probably should have mentioned this at the beginning, but when Jeff described it to us, he described it as silly and wild, but very entertaining, which I think is a really like easy way to explain this movie and like capture it, because there's so much stuff that doesn't make sense. There's so much that is really silly and kind of dumb, but I still was very interested. Like it, like I was like, what the fuck is going on? But what's going to happen next? So I did enjoy it, but I also would give it a solid two booze.
And just, I really wish we got more from the Dudes of Wrath.
Yeah, I do wish they would have like pushed a little bit more of the movie's score out and like led with a soundtrack instead, because I think it would have fueled the beginning of the movie. Feels very much like it's trying to be serious, and it slowly kind of creeps into ridiculousness. And I think they could have carried a little bit more of the silliness through the whole film.
Yeah. It's just so weird. Like, yeah, Wes Craven, Desmond Child partnership, like, is seems strange to me, but
I
yeah.
mean, does it? Like, if Wes Craven like called you and was like, "Hey, I need you to come up with a super group and write me some songs for this movie," and handed you the script, it could be any script, really, and you'd be like, "Fuck yes, we're doing this."
I need you to assemble the Justice League of coked out 80s hair metal rockers.
Yes,
It
exactly. That's what happened, and it worked.
did, so to very, very positive results. So that's all I got on Shocker. How about you?
That's it.
Hell yeah. All right, everybody. Yeah, you don't see waterbeds anymore, huh?
That's a shocker.
Yeah. So, do they still sell waterbeds?
No, fun fact about waterbeds, most places won't give you rental or home insurance, if you have a
Have one.
waterbed, because they have a track record of doing quite a bit of water damage. And in apartments, that's enough water to like leak through the floor and get to the apartment below you. So no more water beds. But you know what? They were kind of fun. I love a water bed. I
I
did when
like
I
a
was a
water bed
kid.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I
It's
got.
a shame.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, Jeff, for the recommendation. I hope we
Yeah.
did some justice to this
Yeah.
conversation.
And we might, maybe, who knows, maybe we'll dig into one of your others that you sent us too.
Right, everybody. Take care. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on Shocker. If you found this episode electrifying, you could subscribe to our podcast and leave us a killer review on whichever platform you choose to listen. You can find us on Instagram at 321 Ghost Pod and give us a follow. We dare you to shock us with your opinions in the comments. You can shoot an email to 321ghostpod@gmail.com to share any thoughts, questions, or request a movie you'd like to hear us cover. Shout out to our listener, Jeff, for requesting this one. Next week, we'll be back to bewitch you with 1996's The Craft. Thanks again for listening, and remember, if you can't save someone in real life, you can watch them be murdered in your dreams. 3, 2, 1, ghost.